Shalom, and welcome to Torah Bites. This week's message, The Meaning of the Shofar, is special for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, 5776. In the third book of the Bible, Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 44, is a description of three special observances that were to occur each year around September-October. The first is often referred to as the Feast of Trumpets and became known as Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. It begins this year the evening of September 13. 10 days later is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, beginning the evening of September 22. 5 days after that is the Festival of Sukkot, Tabernacle or Booths, beginning the evening of September 27. These three observances are intimately connected in that the first two provide intense preparation for the third. In the midst of the busy fall harvest time, the people of Israel were to stop for a day of reflection to remember God. This was to get the people's attention so that they would be ready a week and a half later for a full day of humiliation and repentance on Yom Kippur. The restoration provided by that most solemn day enabled the people to engage the over a week-long celebrations associated with Sukkot. We fool ourselves into thinking that we can rush into Thanksgiving festivities without taking the previous 2 weeks to get ready first. We're so busy with so many distractions, yet God wisely knows that He needs to get our attention first by reminding us of things we so easily forget. The Feast of Trumpets was to be a memorial, marked by blowing. Most translations fill in what it was to be blown, even though the passage nowhere states explicitly what instrument was to be used. Traditionally, it is the shofar, or the ram's horn. Also, while the act of blowing was to function as a memorial, we're not told what it was we were to remember. The connection of this day with the other days mentioned above allows for a general reminder of the things of God, but the use of the shofar in particular brings to remembrance some key biblical events and ideas. I'm going to share several passages that reference the shofar and provide some suggestions as to what therefore we should remember when it is blown. In most English translations of the Hebrew Scriptures, the word shofar is translated either as horn or trumpet. Horn, of course, is better since it clearly shows the difference between the use of a hollowed-out animal horn and a man-made metallic trumpet. First, we see in Shemot, Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 19, which is the giving of the covenant Mount Sinai, the blowing of the shofar reminds us of God's rescue from bondage, His commitment through covenant faithfulness, and the gift of His word. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, we see that the falling of the great walls of Jericho following the sounding of the shofar reminds us that when we are in God's will, doing what He wants us to do, nothing can stand in our way. In Tehillim, Psalms 47 and verse 5, we read that as the shofar blast proclaims God's rule, so should we, boldly and without fear. Also in Tehillim, Psalms 98 verses 48 through 6, we see how the shofar reminds us that God is worth celebrating. We make a big deal over far lesser things, so let us make some joyful noise about God. In Isaiah 58 verse 1, we read that as the voice of the prophet is clear and distinct, the shofar encourages us to not hold back, but to speak up for God and His ways, clearly and unashamedly. In Joel chapter 2 verse 1, we read how the shofar was used as a practical device to get people's attention. In this passage, it is an alarm to warn God's people of His coming judgment. One of the great Jewish thinkers of all time was Moses Maimonides. He was a rabbi, physician, and philosopher in Morocco and Egypt who lived between 1135 and 1204 AD. What he said with regard to what people should think of as the shofar is blown goes along with this. He said, wake up, sleepers, from your sleep, and awake, slumberers, from your slumber. Search your deeds, repent, and remember your Creator. Some of you might catch how these words sound similar to other words written long before Maimonides from the New Covenant writings in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The shofar, God's alarm clock, is to alert us as to the nature of the times in which we live. It's so easy to allow cynicism and apathy to lull us to sleep. It's much easier to go along with the flow, submitting to the pressures of the culture, than to pursue the things of God day by day. This past week, the world remembered the September 11, 2001 tragedy, which many at the time said was a wake-up call. But how many of these same people hit the alarm and drifted off to sleep again? Since then, the world has experienced alarm after alarm. Eventually, it will be too late, which brings us to the next one. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14 tells us that the day will come when God himself will blow the shofar to signal the return of Messiah to call creation to account and judge the world. No more opportunities to go back to sleep. No more chances. This is reiterated in the New Covenant writings. Since it was originally written in Greek, we don't know if it is referencing a trumpet or a horn, but the connection with the shofar is clear, as is the point it makes. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 55. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? As the final blast marks the end of life as we know it, it also signals the beginning of the age to come when death and all its effects will be no more. For some, it will be a time of absolute dread, but for others, the greatest moment of our lives. How can you be assured of eternal life? Here, too, the shofar shows the way. We're going to look back at a much earlier passage, Bereshit, Genesis 22, verses 12 to 14. The Hebrew word here is not actually shofar, but a synonym, keren. This reference from the first book of the Bible is foundational for everything else the shofar reminds us of. God's requirement for the offering of Abraham's son Isaac was fulfilled through the provision of a ram. All through Scripture, the sacrificial system, as established by God, reminded the people that an offering of an innocent animal was a satisfactory substitute for sin. While this is foreign to most of us today, it is God's way, all the while pointing the people of Israel to the perfect and final offering of the Messiah on our behalf. His life was accepted in place of ours, so that all who trust in him would live forever. It is no coincidence that among all the things that happened to him during his unjust arrest, trial, and execution, that he was mocked by the Roman soldiers by their placing a crown of thorns on his head. Yeshua, like the ram of Abraham's day, found himself caught in a thicket and offered in our place, so like Isaac, we too may go free. The shofar gives us so much to think about, but it is all meaningless unless we are in right relationship with God. By accepting Yeshua as God's provision, everything else becomes clear. The shofar sound not only will reverberate in our ears, but the fullness of its meaning will find its way into our hearts. Torah Bytes is located on the web at www.torahbytes.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbytes.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Torah Bytes. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bytes. Lehitraot.